This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Welcome to episode 45. This is now we're starting a brand new franchise, and we're starting off with the 1978 hit, Lethal Weapon. Nate, what do you think?
Oh, man. I have not seen this movie since a very long time. I don't think I've seen it as an adult, I'm being honest.
Okay.
Because when I was watching it, I was like... I remember bits, but I was like, this is not familiar. So it wasn't a first time watch, but it was almost a first time watch, I feel like. So it was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen the Lethal Weapons, but I normally watch it all the time. It's my favorite buddy cop franchise. I think it's the best buddy cop franchise. But again, we're going to tap into this and see if it really is the number one buddy cop franchise. We're going to go frame movie by movie, week by week. Mm-hmm. You know how we do it. And then we're going to do it a live rankings with the community of Levels of Geek. So with that said, if you guys are listening to us on the go on the podcast Action Movie Guys, please hit that subscribe button, whether you're listening to us on Spotify, where you are on Apple Podcasts, or you're on Stitcher, or anywhere you listen to your podcast on, leave feedback. And of course, you guys on YouTube watching this video, please hit that like button if you enjoyed this review. Hit the notification bell so every time we go live or reviews drop, you guys will be notified. If you're new to the channel, hit the subscribe button. Subscribe. Help us out. You know what I mean? For us content creators. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on our way to 700. We're getting closer. So make sure you subscribe if you don't already.
Yeah. So with that said, we're going to give you guys our categories, and then we're going to go right into our... box office numbers for Lethal Weapon from 1987, and then right into Rotten Tomatoes, and then right into the actual review for you guys. So with that said, these are the categories we based our action movie reviews, and they are lead character, main villain, action scenes, storyline, overall, total points. There you have it. Leave the comments down below your total point or what you guys thought of Lethal Weapon from 1987. With that said, Nate, what do you think on these box office numbers?
Okay, so this one's going to be hard. I have no frame of reference for this. I have no idea. 1987. I'm going to say, at this point, movies were making over $100 million, but that was like top of the line. So I'm going to say this first one made $84 million domestic.
Okay.
I don't think it was 100, but I think it was like really successful, and that's why there's four of them. I'll say 84.
All right, so there you have it, guys. That is his predictions. So here we go. Is Nate right? Let's check it out. This is the Lethal Weapon 1987 box office numbers, and they are, domestically, it came out to a whopping $65,207,127. International, $55 million. For a worldwide total of $120,207,127 on a budget of $15 million. So that is a successful movie to debut. So what do you think?
Yeah, so I guessed high. I thought I might have been guessing low. I was worried. But it made four times its budget just in the U.S. Yeah. So that's big success. Good for it. And it makes sense why there's so many of these. And I'm thinking, you know, $64 million in 87 is probably like well over, you know, over $100 million now. So, that sounds about right.
All right. So let's get right into these Rotten Tomatoes scores, my friend.
So Rotten Tomatoes scores, we already know how this goes. Alex is going to guess the critic score and the audience score. Sometimes he's close, sometimes he's far. Alex, what do you think this got critically and audience score?
I might go into 60 bracket. This is 70s, right? 80s. So I'm going to go 60. Yeah. I'm going to go 60s, but I'm going to say a 69. Okay. And the audience score is going to be pretty high because a lot of people love the Lethal Weapons, right? So I'm going to go with the 88 percentile.
Oof. Okay. All so right. Once again, you pull through with one very close and one kind of far.
Oh, boy. Which one was kind of far?
Critics. The critic score was pretty far. So you guess low. It's actually got an 80% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. So it was well reviewed even for the time. You were very close on the audience score though. You said 88 and it was an 86. So you were only Only 2% off. Very close, but yeah, good guess on the audit. You were on the right track. You think this is popular. People like it. I'm going to go in the mid-80s, and that was a good call.
Yeah.
So well-reviewed overall, though. People liked it. Critics liked it. Everyone likes it, apparently.
Yeah, so there you have it. So that's – but again, we throw those craps in out the window because we're here for our review. So with that said, let's start it off with lead character. This time, for the first time in this channel, is going to be Mel Gibson, and Danny Glover is going to be ranked as the lead character. So with that said, Nate.
Yeah, I texted Alex last night when I was watching. I was like, hey, man, are we scoring both guys? Because – they're both kind of the lead, you know, like you have an intro scene of Danny Glover and then you have an intro scene of Mel Gibson. And then the rest of the time, they're together like the whole movie. So fair to score them both. Like, I feel like if we were doing Rush Hour, you'd have to do Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan together. So Jackie Tan. I'll be honest. So this I like both actors. I feel like this review is going to be too different from us, but like close, but far, if that makes sense. I think they're both great actors. I love Danny Glover, especially around this time. I love Mel Gibson all the time, even now. I liked their chemistry, but, and this, I don't know how else to word this. I've never seen Lethal Weapon 2, 3, or 4.
Okay.
I have a sneaky feeling in my heart. I'm going to like them more as the movies go on. That's my guess. For a first time, I thought they were good together. Not great, but I feel like greatness is on the horizon. This is just a guess. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I gave him a 4.
Okay.
I think both are good in the lead. I think Mel Gibson is sometimes a little over the top with like because he's a crazy guy. You know what I mean? And I get it, but sometimes still it's kind of too much. And Danny Glover's main thing is he's old. You know what I mean? Like that's their characteristics. Danny Glover's old. Mel Gibson's crazy. He's suicidal and crazy, which is cool. It's a good contrast because they're not very similar at all. And I like them a lot, but I'm not going to give it a 5. I think they're going to get there though. I hope we'll see, but a 4 for me.
Yeah. Look, I'm just going to go straight out the bat and say it's a 5. Okay. It's going to be a 5 because honestly, they have one of the best chemistries on screen. I mean, there's nothing you can do. I agree with you, though. This is their first movie. But there's something about the characters and that, yes, I did see 2, 3, and 4. But we're ranking this one. And yeah,
Tell me.
No, I'm not. But in this one, I like the way the characters developed. Like, they started to like each other towards the end. You know what I mean? Like the daughter got captured and then you see him, you know, like he's going to... He got mad also because he feels like... Now that's his family. But... With that, look, I gave it a 5. I think they all gelled very well with this. Is this the one with the condom?
No.
Huh? No? Yeah. Okay, so then that's one.
Four and a half for part 2 already. I feel it. Huh? Just for that comment.
No.
Comment, I'm already at a 4.5.
You don't know why, but it's...
I don't know why, but it sounds funny.
But anyway, with that said, I gave it a 5. Let's get to main villain, because this one had a lot of Gary Busey, then they had the other guy, so I don't know who you want to do.
Old guy?
I did the old guy.
I scored the old guy.
Yeah, me too. What did you give him?
Listen, this old guy, to me, is just that old guy from Liar Liar, who Jim Carrey makes fun of in The Office. Like, that's how I know this actor. He's okay. He's in charge. He's not on screen for a really long time. Gary Busey, okay? He was better. I actually wish Gary Busey was, like, the main villain. I thought he was better. He actually does work. You know what I mean? Like, he gets burned by fire and it doesn't really hurt him. Or it does hurt him, but he doesn't, you know, he acts like it doesn't hurt him. He flies in the helicopter and, like, takes out the guy, the old guy, you know, the dad. He does more work. The other guy just is, like, in charge boss bad guy. And, you know, if you've watched any of the other 44 episodes we've done of this, it's not my favorite style of villain. But also the performance was pretty good. He was definitely bad. You know, he was like there's a good story for him. He just wasn't super intimidating to me. I gave him a 3. I thought he was average. He was like a pretty average
old man
villain. Old man 3. I don't know his name.
This is crazy. Okay. Because we are totally opposite here. I gave this old dude a 1. This dude.
I'm generous, Nate.
And you're generous, Nate, and the main villain, Mitchell Ryan. Thank you to the Patreons that are watching us.
The secret viewers that y'all can't see.
Yeah. I gave him a one. I did not like this bad guy at all. I did not like him. I thought I would have scored Gary Busey more, but yeah. This old dude, I kind of agree with you, but he didn't do nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, he got blown up with a grenade. He was like, oh, and it just blew up. And I was just like, oh, come on. This is so 80s cheese. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I know it's 80s, sure. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, but you're nipping. Yes, but we're breaking these down in categories. And right. Is he worse villain than the villain from Rambo's? Yes.
I was going to say he's kind of even.
He's
yeah,
even.
Okay.
But you gave those a one. So you, and then you gave this guy a three. So it's like, Nate is drinking the tea, villain. Bro.
He reminded me of the villain in Rambo 2. And I don't remember what I gave that guy. So
you
let's
gave him
see.
A
Rambo
one.
2. Did I give him a one?
I think you gave
First
him
Blood
a one.
Part 2. I gave him a 2.
Oh, you gave him a 2. Okay.
Said, okay, maybe I should have gave this guy a 2. He's more on par with that.
Yeah.
I like when he yelled.
Yeah.
I feel like he was
yeah,
like a yelling voice.
Yeah, he did. But look, I gave him a 1, to be honest with you. Today I'm Nate in the villain department. But let's get to action sequences. 80s action.
All right. 80s action. So I'm not the hugest fan of 80s action.
Ooh.
And it's just more so from I just feel like over time people got better at directing action scenes. It's a natural progression of life. You know what I mean? So, you know, like when something is done and then it gets better and better and better, I feel like choreography of action has gotten better. With that said, for the time, it's very good action. There's a lot of action. This is a good mix of story and action, this movie, which I like. It's not just constantly one or the other. There'll be like story going on and then all of a sudden they'll be like moving right into an action scene. And one thing, Richard Donner, he's the director of this. The opening scene when the girl jumps off the building,
where her boobs
it's
out
so well. Yeah, yeah, she's just boobs out flying through the sky.
Yeah,
and Richard Donner, I don't know if it's from directing Superman or what. He does really cool with like the with like stuff like falling or like moving through the air. Like it looks cool. Like it was very well directed. And then it happens again with the helicopter scene. Like it's really well done when he's kind of doing aerial stuff, I guess. Yeah. I gave it a 4. I wasn't blown away by anything in this. You know what I mean? Like there was no scene where I was like, oh, that was super awesome. This needs a 5, but it was constant good action. So I gave it a 4.
Yeah. Look, in terms of action, I'm going to agree with you on it. Was it as much as the other sequels? No, not much, but you know what? Each sequel does get better and better. So we all do that. And then when you watch movies, that's like the formula of every sequels. But in this one, you're right. It doesn't have much. It doesn't have as much. But when it does, it has good action for you to be entertained. Whether it's Riggs jumping off the roof with the crazy guy. You want to jump?
That's funny.
Let's jump. And then you see the handcuff detach when they jump, and then it goes right back together again.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was like, hey, so, they're not even. And he grabbed his hand. Stuntman.
Yeah. So you could tell that stuff like that. I mean, again, it's 80s. When they were in Richard Donner's house and they were shooting it up, no one knew. Yep. Fun fact, that was Richard Donner's house when the helicopter was was it canyon?
It was like over water. It was like on a coast.
That's Richard Donner's house. That was actual Richard Donner's house. They filmed it in technically his backyard, if you really want to say it. But
Save some money.
Yeah, save some money. So why not? But I agree with you. The action scenes, Riggs running. You know, Danny Glover giving his with the revolver. So I liked it. I gave it a 4. It's not a perfect 5 yet.
Yeah.
Again, keyword yet. But it's a 4 in terms of action.
Okay.
And I love them one thing I love about them is even when they every time they end up in the shooting range is always when I start laughing because Riggs always picks on Danny Glover for some damn reason. But with that said, let's get right into storyline.
All right. So one thing I've noticed, so I'm watching this movie, right? And I knew this already, but then it reminded me at the beginning, it says this movie was written by Shane Black.
Yeah.
And I am now convinced that Shane Black has somehow written the same exact movie 3 different times and then just changed a few things here and there, because this storyline, it involves 2 different type of personalities trying to solve a murder of a girl, right? He also wrote Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Guess what that movie is?
Oh,
2 people with 2 different personalities trying to solve the murder of a girl. And guess what else he wrote? The Nice Guys, which is two guys with different personalities trying to solve the murder of a girl. You guessed it. So he's got a formula.
I guess that formula went out the window when he wrote Predators.
Predators and Iron Man 3. Those are the only ones that are not that. Yeah.
He lost the Predator.
But if you think about it, Predators and Iron Man, those are franchises. You know, he has to stay within lines.
Yeah.
When he's kind of writing his own thing, he's written the same movie, the same like basic premise. All right, I need two different guys, two different personalities. A girl is murdered. They're going to solve it. That's what this is. That's what Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is. That's what The Nice Guys is. And I'm not saying any of them are bad, because guess what? They're all good movies.
Yeah.
But it's formulaic. And now watching this after having seen those movies, I don't know. It might have taken the shine off of it a little bit, because like, oh, I've seen something very similar. So I have to score it from what I saw. I also liked it a lot. I think it's very good. I gave it a 4. I don't think it's like a perfect movie or anything like that. Has good dialogue. It's funny at times. But yeah, I it's enjoyable. Not amazing, but enjoyable.
Yeah. Well, look, when it comes to storyline for me, this movie had a good storyline. It was not great, but it was a good pilot. If you want to put this as a TV show term, it was a good pilot to start off the franchise. It got me hooked. But if it was like they never gave you a sequel, then I'm okay with it, because this movie was actually pretty good as a send-off, or you want to continue the story. So with that said, I gave it a 4 also. I didn't give it a perfect 5 because I thought the storyline was good, but not as great. Let's get to the overall of the entire film.
Oh yeah. Overall, I gave it a 4. I would have scored this an 8 out of 10, you know, if I was reviewing it on my scale. So 4. Look, good lead characters, good actors, good cast overall. You know, Gary Busey, he's crazy now, but he was a pretty good actor in the 80s and early 90s. So I like him in this. I like him in Point Break. Gary Busey's fine with me. I like Danny Glover. I love Mel Gibson. So yeah, good, solid cast, good, solid action, well-written, well-directed by Richard Donner. You know what this movie is? This is like a really, I like that you said it's like a pilot, because even though I haven't seen the other ones, I just have a feeling like they're going to get better or I'm going to like them more. It's a good jumping off point, but this is like a good, sturdy buddy cop action movie. That's the best way I could describe it. This is not a game changer. It's not the most amazing, but it is a very good franchise starter, and I had a really good time watching it. So I gave it a 4.
All right. Yeah, look, for me, I went a slight above you. I went 4.5.
Okay.
Because of the chemistry of the two main characters, it kept me engaged throughout the entire movie. I love the family dynamic. Like, they introduced Riggs to the family, but then he started to grow with the family towards the end. Riggs did have his flaws, which was his wife, and he was a drunk, and he wanted to kill himself. He was suicidal. So, like, he didn't care about life until he met the Murtaugs. And I like that whole progression, and I felt for him. Like, you feel for Riggs. It's like one of those things. And you could see that their relationship was blossoming towards the end. And I like that. So with that, I gave it a 4.5 in the score. So what do you give it as a total point?
Yeah, and I forgot. We can't let it go without reminding everyone that this movie was definitely made in a different time, because that first scene with Danny Glover sitting in a bathtub and his whole family comes in the bathroom, even though he's butt naked in a bathtub, kind of weird. They're all giving him kisses. I'm like, the oldest daughter's pretty big, and she's just in there. His naked self is just sitting there.
With bubbles.
It was kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. A little weird, but, you know, different time back then. Overall, total points, 19 out of the 25 for me. Very enjoyable. Very good movie. Lots of fun. I had a good time watching it. You know, it doesn't feel... I know you mentioned 80s cheese. It doesn't have that classic 80s feel, in my opinion.
Right.
It feels like almost early 90s, just a little bit ahead. So I'm very interested to see where the series goes. I actually am looking forward to it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I gave it an 18.5, and that's because the main villain stunk. I mean, to be honest with you, he just stunk.
Right.
But I gave it an 18.5. It would have scored higher if it had a way better villain. But I'm okay with that because, you know what? It's still one of my favorite of the fours of the movie. So with that said, 18.5, 19 for you. And you know what to do, my friend.
Yeah, so that is Lethal Weapon, 1987. And we are going to be reviewing the next three in this franchise over the next 3 weeks. Lethal Weapon 2, Lethal Weapon 3, Lethal Weapon 4. I love how they just had nice, simple titles by adding a new number at the end. They didn't do the Die Hard thing where they had to change the name all crazy. Nope, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I haven't seen any of those, so there'll be first-time watches, so that's a lot of fun. And then, of course, on our secondary shows for the next 2 weeks, we're wrapping up our Westerns. So we will have next Django Unchained, Alex first-time watch, and then next week, wrapping it up with the remake of The Magnificent Seven.
So well, yeah.
Keep an eye and ear out for those.
Yeah, so if you want to follow us in our social media platform, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out his podcast with him and his friend called Nateflix Movie Reviews over on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcasts on Levels of Geeks. We have a website, www.levelsofgeeks.com. It's our central hub. You get everything there organized, even our merch store if you guys want to buy nice shirts from all the shows that we have lined up for you guys. We have Good Morning Gotham shirts. We got Action Movie Guy shirts. Of course, we got Levels of Geek shirts. And as soon as going to be the Horrorfile shirts coming onto the website. And with that said, if you guys want to follow us on social media, follow us on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all Levels of Geeks across the board there. And of course, we're not on Facebook. I'm still debating on that. And then TikTok, absolutely not. But with that said, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.